All right, yes, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. I think it's a few weeks, mate. Profusely as I was speaking, and now I'm like trying to stay as much in the sun as I can to get rid of that. You've ever had my extended family. And, August 30th, right? Last Sunday in August, you know that for sure. So that means we are finishing up today our summer spell challenge. We're a high five of at least 3 people. Summer spell challenge. An easy class. We're going to do the whole book of Psalms. And today we're going to spend a little time reviewing some of the things that we talked about through Psalms. I sent an email and you've experienced for a week. We have a time just to share those kind of short popcorn style. You're welcome to share some of your thoughts with me. It's my voice. And then we'll talk a little bit about Psalm 150 and praise and a little bit about. So, we've been through the Psalms and we've talked about all kinds of emotions that the Psalms help us to express, to allow God to be part of every part of our lives. We've talked about delight and desire, disgust, joy and exaltation, depression, hatred, confusion. The Psalms give us words for these experiences that we all experience at some level of our lives, one time or another. So Psalms express history and give us ways to retell the stories of God, and we did that together. And they also call us to praise and thanksgiving and worship. So we're going to look at even more again today. We memorized Psalms. We shared insights about Psalms. We wrote songs about Psalms. We wrote about our history. We used art to express our Psalms. And some of you got to share those through different Psalm projects. And some of you did them, but they were hard to know how to share, especially outside of with all of this. But I know many of you shared them with me, and I'm grateful for all the ways that we were able to interact with Psalms, not just read it as something out there, but take it in and use it to express our inner experience. Rich book. You also told me that you were about Psalm now. We need to move on. So we're going to move on today. And not keep talking about the Psalms. Does anybody have a verse, a thought, a question, a feeling that has been stirring in your heart as we went through the book of Psalms the last couple of months? Not a long explanation, but just a sentence or two about what's happened to you or what you're taking away from this study of the Psalms together this summer.
Psalms 139. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That was the powerful part that I got out of Psalm.
Beautiful. So John's read from Psalm 139, that part about God forming us, God knowing us, God shaping us in our mother's womb. So beautiful. Thank you. And a verse of thoughts.
Last verse that we come out.
It's that last verse that everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Have that focus on where it is back, where it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's good to be in the Psalms. It's good to be in the Psalms, especially this summer. Emotions back to God who's worthy of our praise. I'm grateful for what each of you brought, the people that have shared messages on the Psalms from May till now. Those that shared their Psalm projects with me or with the whole group, those that shared insights and brought your heart and mind into this. We don't want to just come and go through nice motions, but continue to allow what we're doing here to impact and shape our hearts. But if it doesn't, then yeah, what are we doing really, right? You've read the Psalms for this week, finish it up, 141, then back to 115. You know what our theme is, especially the last couple, as Elmer mentioned, which turned out so well this morning. Thanks, for that good time of worship. Three simple words, all together. Praise the Lord. Right? Those last five Psalms just pounded into us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's one of these, as we talked about before, one of these common kind of Christian sayings that we can say so much that can easily lose its power. Of course, hallelujah is praise the Lord. That's what it means. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. It's, if we think about it as a command, it's probably one of the most easiest commands in Scripture. Praise the Lord. So when I say that, praise the Lord. If you hear me say that as a command, what would you do? How do you obey that command? Hey, praise the Lord. What do you do? It's kind of hard to conceptualize. There's a lot of things we do, right? We sing, we dance. We give thanks to the Lord. We tell the Lord how great He is. We express it in words. We express it in surrender and bowing down. And Psalm 150 gives us all these ways of the expressions that we use to praise the Lord. And of course, it's not an exhaustive list. There are many more. So why is it so important for God to bring it down to this clip? And we're not sure of ourselves, even our words of affirmation, so we can feel good about ourselves. Yeah, right. God is totally happy just with Himself. He doesn't really care, in a sense, what we think of Him. Of course, in our world, we have plenty of examples of people that are petty and need praise to feel good about themselves, and I myself fall into that at different times as well. So we feel that, and sometimes we project that onto God, but God is not like that. He commands us to praise as all of His commands are for our benefit. Because He knows that as we step into the praise of the Lord with all of our hearts come into alignment with creation as it is put together, with God at the center and us in our paths as people who are getting our life from Him. And it allows us to see reality as it is from His perspective, not from our perspective. And so as we step into this this posture of praise and worship and surrender, which are all so intimately connected, then we allow God to be at the center, and our perspective becomes the one that God has. So as C.S. Lewis famously said, I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun rising. Not only because I see the sun, but because by the sun I see everything else. And that's what praise allows us to do. It allows us to come into that place where we can see reality as it is. It puts God at the center and us out. And that's how the created order is. But of course, from the beginning, the human tendency is to want to be in the center. So all the way back at the beginning of the story, you remember when Adam and Eve in the garden, it was perfect. Why? Because they were in their posture of worship. They knew their place. But by chapter 3, they were already becoming discontent with that place. Deceived by the serpent, they ate the fruit. Why did they eat the fruit? You remember? Because they wanted to be like God. Right? That was the deception. Hey, you eat this fruit, you become like God. You don't have to be worshipers. You can be recipients of worship. You can be masters of your own destiny. You can do it yourself. Okay, God. You become God. That looked pretty good to them. So they stepped into the sin. The world has never been the same since. Because what happens when a lot of people want to be in the center? You play King of the Mountain, right? It's pretty ugly, pretty quick. And that's the story. By chapter 6 in Genesis, 6 chapters into the story, this is God's commentary on humankind. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. It's a pretty intense commentary. Every inclination of the human heart was only evil all the time. Why? Because they wanted to be in the center. So we went from paradise to hell in 3 chapters. And we can look back at the story ever since. So when steps Jesus into this mess, chaos of people wanting to be in the center and killing and destroying each other to get there. Jesus in the wilderness, you remember Satan comes with the same temptation. You don't have to do this God's way, Jesus. Put yourself in the center. Just make it bread. Throw yourself down. You get a superstar. You don't have to worship God. What does Jesus say? That's not how this works. I'm not here to be in the center. I'm here to do the will of the one who is in the center. And he shows us what that looks like through his entire life. But always patient, Satan doesn't give up. Waits for an opportunity again. And then we see Jesus in the garden. Satan comes back. You don't have to do this. You see that movie, right? You don't have to do it. And Jesus is on his face, sweating blood, saying, ah! And then he gives the ultimate expression of praise. Not my will, but yours. The moment he surrenders his life again to the will of the Father, things get a lot worse for him. He goes from the garden, sweating blood, to blood coming out of every part of his body. Strung out on a cross, broken, abandoned, mocked, destroyed. Every terrible thing that could ever happen to a person happens to Jesus because he said, not my will, but yours be done. But of course, we know the end of that story, right? He walks straight through the cross and comes out of the grave. And the world, just like Adam and Eve, has never been the same.
Hallelujah.
So it's this posture of surrender that is fundamental to how we understand God's word. Just like Jesus, worship that cost us nothing usually results in nothing. Worship, a form of worship and praise, of course, can even put us more in the center, depending on our social context. That's what Jesus praises with the Pharisees. They were praying, rising, worshiping. Of God, who is the one who is worthy. And that posture of worship and praise and surrender is the fundamental posture of the people of God in the world. The If we lose that posture, then we no longer become the people of God. Because only in that posture are we able to follow the ways of God. But that posture is not easy to hold, especially in the time of chaos, as Marianne said. We need these psalms calling us back to praise the Lord. Because there's so many other postures that will be being pushed into as the fundamental posture of our lives.
All right. We should wear masks. Why are we for it? Change and keep up with the times. No, we don't. Everything we hear is a conspiracy. No, it's not. It's true. If we just had a different pastor, or a different leader, or a different president, or a different congressman. But all these postures can become the fundamental posture of our heart in which we see reality. I don't want to make light of very important discussions that we need to have and understand. The moment those things become the core posture of our hearts, then we begin to live out of a reality that's not actually reality. And we lose our grounding in who we are and who God is and the way that we are being invited to act in the world. And so that's why we need to keep coming back to this simple command. Praise the Lord. When we got nothing else to do, when there is no way, the way is praise. When we're confused and chaotic and we don't have the strength to stand in the storm, the way is praise. And just like Jesus, God, I don't have the strength to do this, not my will, but yours be done. It's the way that carries us into the purposes of God. It's only praise that allows us to step out of the middle of the circle and be the people that God has called us to be. It's only praise that allows us to not destroy and manipulate each other as competitors, but love each other as brothers and sisters, bonded in the great praise of the only one who deserves to be in the center of the circle. And if one thing I am very sure, if we as a congregation are going to get through this chaotic time stronger than when we began, it is going to be because we worshipped our way through it. It's not going to be because we figured it out, because somebody won over somebody else, but because we as a congregation decided that there is a God in the center and he is worthy of worship. So that's going to be the theme for the rest of our time. Worship. There is not a greater springboard into that theme and song. The simple call that gets through all the junk that we have to deal with in this world and brings us back to the fundamental reality of our existence. That there is a God in heaven who is worthy of our praise at every moment. With all of our strength, with everything that we have, is worthy. In this moment, in that moment, in this situation, in that situation, he is worthy. The crops are full, the barns are loaded down, he is worthy. And when we don't know where our next meal is coming from, he is still worthy. He is still worthy. So as we allow again these words of Psalm 150 to wash over our hearts, I'm going to read this a couple of times, and I need you guys to help me with this as I read it. We're going to make this our declaration, again calling our hearts into the praise of God as we go from this place into another week with all that it holds. So the first time I'm going to read it, it begins and ends with praise the Lord. And so I want all of us to join in that beginning and the ending, and I'm going to read the middle part, all right? So we're going to all say praise the Lord together, and just to get us together, when I do this, that means praise the Lord. We're going to say it together. Okay, so I'm going to do it at the beginning, and we're going to say praise the Lord, and then we'll do it again at the end. Praise the Lord.
praise the Lord. Okay.
Got it? All right, let's do it. Ready? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the claps of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Now we're going to do it again. And there's another phrase that's repeated in most minds, which is praise Him. All right, so now when I give you the finger up, that's like, doesn't sound right. When I put my finger up, let's do praise Him. All right, praise Him. All right, so every time you see that real quick, that's praise Him. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him for His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Everything that He has brought, praise the Lord. Together, praise the Lord. Let's pray. So we receive that prayer again this morning, Lord. We've walked into this place, into this gathering this morning, Lord. We offer it to You. And we ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit again this morning. And praise would continue to well up in our hearts, God. For every situation that we face this week. For every circumstance that we find ourselves in. For swirling emotions, God, that are part of our existence these days. We hear the call again to praise the Lord. And we say yes, God. And we don't know what to do. Lord, let that call rise in our hearts to praise the Lord. When there is no good way to take, let that call rise in our hearts to praise the Lord. When we're faced with things that are too great for us, God, let us come back to that simple call. My existence in the world is fundamentally based on how I respond to this simple call to praise the Lord. And we trust, as we give ourselves to that call, that You will lead us through all the decisions, all the emotions, all the relationships that are before us this week. We believe, God, that as we put You in the center and us on the side, that You will help us to see things with peace and wisdom. And that we will be wiser than our enemies, wiser than our situation, even wiser than our counselors, as Your word says. Because we bow our hearts every day and say, yes, Lord, You are at the center, not me. That is our faith today. Let it be our reality, God, as we walk through this week. Bring us back together again next week with hearts that are full of praise and stories of how good it is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's an opposing song. Mm-hmm.